29 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Secret Wars Saturday episode. I'm going to be talking about Marvel Secret Wars 2, issue number 5. And, you know, I've said before about this series, there aren't a lot of iconic covers. I think maybe issue 3 and then this issue 5 may be the two that kind of stick out in my mind as when I think about Secret Wars, I think about these particular covers. So the creative team, Jim Shooter as the scripter or writer. We have Al Milgram on pencils. We have Steve Lea Aloha and Joe Rubenstein on inks with colors by M. Hands, whoever that is. I have a feeling that may be a few different people. We've seen Christy, quote, Max, unquote, Scheel on most of these issues. So this is a fun issue. I feel like with issue 4 that we talked about a couple weeks ago, the love issue, as we've dubbed it, truly when the Beyonder has really kind of come to understand what it means to be human. You know, he's looked all along for the meaning behind desire and feelings of incompleteness. You know, before there was that pinhole window into our universe, he just existed in his kind of his own space in the galaxy, his own universe. He was kind of the end-all, be-all of that existence. You can almost think of him in a way as like a sentient reality. And there was nothing like emotion or desire or incompleteness or any of that kind of stuff, right? Humanity itself was a foreign concept to him until he started observing our world. So we look at issue 4, where he tried to have a relationship with Dazzler, as maybe the final piece that he needed to kind of understand what does it really mean to desire something as a mortal being and not be able to achieve it, right? Like, what else is more human than that? What's more relatable than that? I'm pretty sure that we can all relate to having a crush on somebody at some point in our lives that kind of went unfulfilled, right? And an unrequited love, if you will. So it's interesting. We saw him kind of compel Alison Blair, or Dazzler, to fall in love with him and him quickly realize that it was so different than a genuine affection or genuine love. So as this issue starts, the Beyonder's walking along some train tracks in near Washington, D.C., singing "Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone." As a train bears down upon him as he's walking along these tracks, he turns around, cocks his finger, click, bang, and suddenly the entire train comes apart. Every piece separates from every other piece, down to the rivets that hold it together. And at the last moment, he has some mercy and he allows everything, including the passengers, to set down gently. So he keeps walking. He's thinking to himself how screwed up his life is. And as he continues walking, we see a teenage girl run up to him. "Hey, mister, wait up. You did that, right? You're a mutant like me." And this turns out that this is Boom Boom, who becomes a fixture in X-Factor at some point, X-Men to a lesser extent, but she has the ability to create these balls of energy that then explodes. So she tells the Beyonder about her childhood. She's like, "Since you wrecked the train, the least you can do is let me walk with you." He's like, I don't care. So hours later, you know, he's kind of explained who he is, and she's explained who she is, and she's like, "You know, shouldn't we make camp or something?" "Oh, sure." Poof. Instant camp from the Beyonder. Tents, a cooler full of food, lantern, a fire. Boom Boom shows off her black eye that her father gave her. She demonstrates her power by creating a little marble of energy and blowing up one of the tents. Beyonder's like, "Why would you blow up the tent?" She's like, "You can fix it. Why'd you blow up the train?" He's like, "It's a long story." She's like, "I'm not going anywhere. I got time." So he tells her the story of falling in love with Alison Blair and eventually giving her half of his power, turning into her to a goddess with which she then rejects the Beyonder. Again, we saw all this last issue. And Tabitha understands, actually. You know, being a 13-year-old, it's pretty easy to understand rejection. And she feels like all she's ever had in her life is rejection. So she's like, well, you know, there's a couple of choices, right? That you can either wallow in it or you can pretend it isn't happening, you know? So that's kind of her advice to the Beyonder. Not necessarily the best advice. You know, it is advice from a 13-year-old teenager. So, and she says, finally, any way you slice it, it leaves you lonely. You just want so bad for somebody to want you. And from the Beyonder's perspective, he's like, yep, it's desire. It's the root of everything in this universe. You know, ever since I've learned what desire is and experienced desire myself, I've had nothing but pain and grief and trouble. You know, all I understand about desire is it's a nuisance born of incompleteness. And really what he should do is go back to where he came from. But Boom Boom's not having it. She's like, give me a break. You know, nobody gets to take a rain check on life. You know, you go on trying or you collapse. Die quick, die slow. You know, those are your choices. So the Beyonder's like, I don't know. That doesn't sound like it's for me. I'm leaving. And Boom Boom's like, well, at least give me a hug. Thanks for the company and the food. And poof, he's gone. He disappears. And Boom Boom, who tends to have a little bit of a masochistic side, she feels like whenever she's alone, she gives herself 10 points. Like whenever something miserable happens in her life, somebody rejects her, she gets abandoned. It's like, oh, 10 points. You know, I'm winning at life as a, you know, when in reality, it's all sarcasm. It's all just a way to for her to focus on her pain, so to speak. So Beyonder heads home and he says, without me, this place is nothing. It's not even really a place. I guess I'll just disincorporate and expand to fill it and actually become the old Beyond Realm again. But in a minute. It's like, you can't help thinking I should have brought a few things with me. And, he, you know, the gadgets pop up. We know he loves gadgets. And he's like, I can have anything I want, anything at all. We see worlds and galaxies show up as well. And he says, or anyone, even her. And we see Alison Blair appear, different versions of her. And he's thinking, I could make an exact duplicate. I could even bring the original here and make her seem to love me. But again, he goes back to real love is given of its own free will, and that's what he can't have. He can't earn it, buy it, force it. It's like, no, what am I talking about? I came here to forget all that. You know, I want to forget that other universe and everyone in it. And at that moment, the back of his pants explode because Boom Boom left a little present for him in his back pocket. And the Beyonder thinks, why that sneaky little twerp? And soon on Interstate 95, we see that Boom Boom's trying to hitchhike. A car finally pulls over, and it's the Beyonder. And she's worried. She's like, oh, no, let me go. Aren't you mad about the bomb I put in your pocket? He's like, nope, get in. I'm not going to hurt you. He fixes her eye from the black eye that she had. And Boom Boom's like, well, I'm glad you came back, even if I hadn't put a time bomb in your pants. And the Beyonder's like, really? She says, yeah, I can tell you're not ready to quit yet. You know, and I'm not ready to quit yet either. Although she's considered it a few times. So she asked the Beyonder to take her to the Xavier School for Gifted Mutants. The Beyonder agrees. So he takes her there, drops her off. She knocks on the door and she's like, hi, I'm Boom Boom. I mean, Tabitha, I make these little bombs. Colossus, who answers the door, is like, are you sure you have the right house? And before they can kind of go down the path of finding out who she is, Rachel Summers, Phoenix, spots the Beyonder in the car, says, it's him, it's the Beyonder, let's go, X-Men. And she psionically compels them all to attack the Beyonder. And he's kind of sitting there behind the wheel of the car, yawning, because, you know, he knows they can't do anything with him. And he's like, you know, I really don't have time for this. If you'll excuse me, and he drives off with the X-Men in hot pursuit. Meanwhile, Boom Boom's like, no, don't chase him away. No, what are you doing? And she's upset. She runs off into the woods. Sometime later, the X-Men reappear. And Wolverine, for one, is not happy. He's like, Rachel's talking about how dangerous the Beyonder is. He can't be allowed to roam around unchecked. And Wolverine's like, I believe you, Rachel, but I don't appreciate being coerced by your power, you know, psionically to chase after him. We need to have a talk about that. Meanwhile, Colossus is like, where's the girl that was here? We should ask her some questions. And Wolverine's like, who knows, but we need to settle our little internal problem first. But what we see is deep in the woods surrounding the mansion, that Boom Boom is there and she's scared and she just wants the Beyonder to come back. She's calling for him. He won't show up. So she's like, if you don't show up, I'm going to kill myself. And she creates a giant bomb with a 30-second timer. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. And he didn't come. So she's like, he must have been able to sense that he doesn't care and I really didn't mean it. So I don't know. Where am I running to now? Might as well do it for real. And she hugs the ball of energy to her. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This time does allow it to explode. I don't know if the Beyonder saves her or if she's immune to her own energy constructs, but the Beyonder does show up. And she asks him why he came, and Beyonder says, well, because I knew you weren't ready to quit, I can tell, but that was a stupid stunt. And Boom Boom says, I know, will ya? Get off my case, I'm only 13. Stupid stunts come with the package. So they climb back in the car, and the car basically is allowed to like phase through the trees of the forest. And before they know it, they're flying. The Beyonder's like, don't worry. I've got a life support environment around us, and I've decided the planet's too small for me. So they head off to the World Complex headquarters of the Celestials. The Beyonder's pretty despondent at this point. Tabitha Boom Boom is definitely impressed with what's going on. So he explains the Celestials to her, how they're ancient beings, some of the oldest in the galaxy. They don't really interact at this point. They have to think long and hard before they even make a move. But this bazaar, this tourist trap has grown up around it of people from around the galaxy who come to see the Celestials. And the Beyonder's treated very well by the people in this tourist trap. They don't charge them for food or drink. You know, pretty much they live in fear of him, you know, snapping his fingers and winking them out of existence. So Boom Boom makes the mistake of mentioning that the Celestials didn't pay any attention to the Beyonder when he showed up. Because when the Beyonder remarks that everybody knows who he is, they're aware of his presence, most powerful being in existence, it makes people nervous. Boom Boom's like, well, the Celestials didn't even look up when you arrived. That doesn't sit too well with the Beyonder. So he's like, I'll show you. You want to see dramatic action? Watch. He flies up, turns more into his energy form, yells at the Celestials that if they don't do something to stop him, they're going to be responsible for him destroying the universe. And they do. It's the metaphor, right? It's the contrast between this is exactly what this 13-year-old girl was doing in the forest to get the Beyonder to pay attention to her, right? Like, I'm going to destroy myself, 3, 2, 1, 0, pay attention to me. Here the Beyonder's doing the same thing, right? He's like, you better stop me or I'm going to destroy everything. And they ignore him. And he's like, oh, you knew I didn't really intend to destroy the universe. You're a little more subtle than I thought. But guess what? The universe doesn't mean a rat's whisker to me, and I am going to destroy it. Unless you really try to stop me. So this time when he starts to count down, 3, 2, 1, they do pay attention to him. All the Celestials actually attack him. And he talks about the trouble with lesser beings being that they can't even see all the action. They can't see the billions of feints, thrusts, and parries per second of this fight. But the Beyonder does vanquish the Celestials. And when the Beyonder returns to the surface, so the tourist trap of the World Complex, Boom Boom's like, are you crazy? Now she's actually scared of the Beyonder. She sees, you know, everything that he's done and how dangerous and unhinged he is, and she doesn't really want anything to do with him. And the Beyonder's a little hurt by that, I think. And he tries to bribe her to remain friends with him. He's like, oh, you've always wanted to be pretty. She's like, no, I don't want that. You want to be older? He ages her to 21. She's like, no, please. You want to be normal, right? Normal powers. She's like, no, I just want you to put me back where I was and stay away from me forever. So the Beyonder obliges her. And then he leaves the World Complex and the destruction that he wrought behind and heads to Earth to his mansion in Brazil and peeks in on Algrim the Elf, who he reanimated last issue, who's still plotting his way across the ocean floor, heading for his enemy, Thor. And he expects that in about a week, Algrim will reach his destination, and the Beyonder will check in on him then. So he decides to listen to some music while he's thinking, and of course he puts on, without thinking about it, the Dazzler album, which only depresses him even more. Meanwhile, in the small town of Westchester, Boom Boom uses her powers to blow up a payphone, right? There's a blast from the past. So she can get some change from it. She calls the Avengers and starts telling them about the Beyonder. And they're like, yes, we're aware. Do you know where he is? She says, no, but I bet I can get him to show up. And she heads back to the campground where they first kind of took a respite after the train was taken apart. And she does succeed in getting the Beyonder to show up, gives him a hug, but once again puts a giant energy ball in his back pocket. It explodes, and as the Beyonder starts to recover, we see the X-Men have shown up, the Avengers, the West Coast Avengers, Doctor Strange, and they all basically start wailing on the Beyonder, who offers no resistance. And finally, Captain America's like, hold it, hold it. He's not even trying to fight back. We can't just pummel him. And he's despondent. He doesn't care. And Captain America's like, look, Beyonder, why don't you just go back where you came from? And he says, I can't bail out. It's no use. I tried. And he just wanders off. And Iron Man's like, we can't just let him wander off. Shouldn't we stop him? And Captain America's like, no, you've got to let him go. Hoping eventually he wanders home. But did you hear the last thing he muttered under his breath? 10 points, I win. What do you make of that? So again, we see that the Beyonder is very much depressed at this point. The lessons he's learned from Tabitha weren't necessarily good ones. And that's where the issue ends. So again, it's the Beyonder continuing his maturation process. But unfortunately, he's not maturing at what I would say is the typical human linear way of growing up, right? Like, I think that maybe you learn the lessons, or you go through the tough times, the tribulations at age 13, you know, to pull the age that Boom Boom or Tabitha is in this issue. Oftentimes you go through that before you go through the rejection that's involved in a relationship that the Beyonder went through last issue. I mean, that was the lesson that he learned, you know, about how that there are desires that can't be fulfilled. There are things that, despite his omniscience, can't be, you know, willed into existence, like the uncompelled love of the woman that he thinks that he's in love with, Alison Blair. So the story's really shifted. I feel like 4 and 5, really 5, is really where we see the Beyonder has come to understand what it means to be human, as far as kind of the negative aspects of it, right? Like, feeling like he's all alone. There's nobody that he can relate to. There's nobody on his same level. There's no one for him to love who can reciprocate that love unconditionally. Because he is a unique being. You know, he does have these incredible powers that make him dangerous, because he doesn't necessarily have the right knowledge or mindset. He doesn't have the checks and balances that you would get from, you know, growing up in a linear existence as a human. You know, I mean, look to Superman as an example, right? Like, we've seen plenty of stories where Superman wasn't found by the Kents and raised with, you know, strong moral values and a moral compass. You know, we've seen like Superman Red Son, where he landed in the USSR. We've seen The Nail, where he's raised by an Amish community, and how different things turned out. So this is kind of another cautionary tale of that, where the Beyonder just created himself as an adult, and this is the result, right? He hasn't learned the lessons. He hasn't learned restraint and responsibility and how to share, and just, you know, all the things that we as humans learn as we grow up, as like what's hopefully, you know, members of a society where we, you know, we get along, and for the sake of our mutual survival, we learn certain lessons and we do certain things. You know, we have a job, we have a career, we meet somebody, we fall in love, we have a family, those kind of things, right? He just, based on the type of being he is, he's learned all these things kind of hodgepodge, and one lesson hasn't built upon the other. And so he has learned what it means to have desire and have it unfulfilled and how that makes him unhappy. And now he's kind of learned in this issue the what it is to be a teenager and feel rejected and feel lonely and to not care and to be despondent, really. And for somebody with the power level of the Beyonder, that's a dangerous place to be. And what we really find is he really isn't omniscient when you think about it, right? Because then he should be able to go back to his own realm and compel himself to forget that he ever knew humans existed, right? But he fails in that as well. So again, it's kind of a tough and dangerous place for a being like the Beyonder to be, just because he does have the ability to do almost anything. And when you do have that ability, it can almost be paralyzing in a way, because you find out when everything comes so easy that the few things that you can't have turn out to be the things that you want the most, right? And in a way, that makes the Beyonder as human as any of us, right? There's that old saying, you always want what you can't have. The forbidden fruit is, you know, so much more attractive than things that are right there at your fingertips that you can, you know, desires that can be fulfilled. You may have, you know, five or six girls that want to be with you, and the one girl that you want doesn't want to be with you. And for some reason, it seems like it's human nature to want what you can't have. You know, you'll fixate on that one, you know, five out of six girls want you, but you're fixated on the one that doesn't, or boys, you know, for whatever, or job. I mean, you can put any metaphor in there, you know, like, oh, I graduated from college and I've got these four jobs that I applied for, three of them accepted me, but the one I really want is the one that, you know, rejected me, and I've got to figure out how to get it. I mean, it's we've seen it time and time again. So interesting, the journey that Shooter has taken the Beyonder on. I feel like the story has gotten a lot less wacky, or it is a lot less wacky in these final four issues or so. Like the first half, 1 through 4, are really kind of crazy, over the top, and we've talked about it in previous episodes. And now that the Beyonder has kind of learned what it is to be human, we're seeing him a little more relatable, I guess you'd say. So I did enjoy this issue. It's not my favorite issue, but it does start to make you think, right? It does start to, the story that Shooter's trying to tell starts to make more sense. It starts to feel like it has a purpose rather than just being this crazy over the top story that's a bit of its time. So we know that the tie-ins for this issue 5 are The Thing number 30, where the Beyonder fights one-on-one with the Thing. We've got Doctor Strange 74. We've got Fantastic Four 285. And I think there's another one. I think there's a Power Pack issue, but we'll find out next week when we do the tie-ins for this issue. So once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us. Please tell your friends all about us, especially your friends that read comics. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use, or app on your phone, for example. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach listeners, especially new listeners. 5-star reviews on iTunes are the best way you can help out the show. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. Speaking of conventions, there's a lot of San Diego Comic-Con content coming out these days. We're putting out 3 or 4 episodes a day just to try to get all those interviews and chats that I had with creators out for you all to listen to. So I debated, I went back and forth on whether or not I wanted to release it as like one big episode or a few together. But I thought if you're only a fan of certain creators, releasing them all as little individual kind of mini episodes would give you the ability to listen to the ones you want and skip the ones that you're not that interested in. So that's why we're doing it that way, if any of you are wondering. Also, I'll be at Palm Springs Comic-Con coming up in August. Let me see if I can find the dates for you on that. So if you're going to be at the show, love to meet up with you, find out what you like about the show, what you don't like, take a picture, hook you up with a free comic source lanyard. So there's definitely reasons to let me know that you're going to be there. Jim Lee's going to be there too. That's the big attraction for the show that's coming up. So as I said, it's Comic-Con Palm Springs is actually what it's officially listed at, and it's occurring August 24th through the 26th of this year. So just about a month from now, as you're listening to this. So also, I'll be attending the Los Angeles, I think it used to be Stan Lee's Kamikaze, LA Kamikaze. I think it's LA Comic-Con now. It's been through several different names, but it's Halloween weekend. I'll be attending that in October. In October, I also should be heading out to New York Comic Con, trying to get the logistics for that all worked out. And then September, I think I skipped over that one, Long Beach Comic Con in Long Beach, California. So a lot of shows coming up for the rest of the year. Looking forward to it. So again, if you're going to be at any of those shows, please let me know. I'd love to meet up with you. And if you're not going to be at any of those shows, be sure you're following along on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff for coverage of those shows. So once again, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.